It's a wonderful privilege to talk to you, people of God. You know, I feel so good because I know I'm talking to family this morning. You know, I listen to messages online. I watch other people preach. You know, they go minister away from their church. But it's not the same, you know, like you're talking to the people you actually know. You know, I see your faces. I know you. And I believe that the Lord will help us this morning. Before I start this morning, I just want us to appreciate Pastor Joe. You know, it's so good that he's able to take some time off today, you know, because every week he just kind of, he pours his heart and soul, you know, into preparing these messages, you know. And I know because I'm his wife, right? You know, he puts in his everything. And this is a man that works, you know, full time as well. He works a secular job. And but when it comes to the things of God, the things of the Spirit, you know, is there, you know. He might not sleep, you know. He might not take time off. But he's going to stay in the Word so that he can bring us, he can feed us, you know, deep spiritual meat, you know. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:17 that those who direct the affairs of the church, they are worthy of double honor. We are not part of the people who worship their leaders, who worship their pastors. But the Bible says, you know, there are some people we need to honor, you know. It says we should honor our father and our mother. We worship God, but we honor people who God has set above us. And we just appreciate you so much, Pastor. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I can tell you he's not on vacation. He's busy preparing the next message. Hallelujah. Let's take out our Bible this morning and open to the book of John. John chapter 4. Don't worry if you don't have a paper Bible. You can take out your iPhones, your iPads, all form of highness. It's fine. John chapter 4, and I'm going to read just two verses this morning. Verse 34 says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. As we go on this morning, I just want to read, you know, those verses. Before I read the 35, I want to read that again in the Message translation. It says, Jesus said, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me. Finishing the work is started. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months, it will be time for harvest? Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritans' fields are ripe. It's harvest time. Can you help me this morning tell the person sitting on your right that it's harvest time? Can you tell the person on the left? It's harvest time. And I believe that is what God is telling us this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word again this morning. We are so grateful for the freedom, for the privilege that we have, oh God, to be able to do this freely in Australia. Lord, we appreciate you. Thank you because every time we gather, heavens always open. Father, we pray that today will not be an exception. In the name of Jesus. Let heaven open over us. Let heaven open over us this morning. Lord, we pray for understanding of your word. Let your people be encouraged this morning. And Lord, we pray, no one will just behold and read these verses and listen to me talk today without going back to act on this word. We receive the power to be a doer. In the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to see what you are seeing this morning. We give you praise. I receive utterance. I receive, oh God, grace to minister your word with power and with life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God is telling us, people of God, this morning, that in these 3 months that this year is coming to an end, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. How many people have, you know, maybe grew up on the farm, or you know what goes on the farm, or you have a little farm of your own? You know, because it's always good to look at the context, you know, of verses and passages in the scriptures so that we understand the, you know, we understand the context of you know, of what we're reading about, you know. This culture at that time, you know, it's a culture where they farm. You know, everything is, they talk about plowing, they talk about cattle and sheep, and they talk about planting, you know. And that's why some of the illustration in the Bible, you know, relates to what's happening in that time. I'm sure some of our kids sitting here today, you know, they don't know, they have no clue where their food comes from, right? They don't even know. Coals, right? And that reminds me of a story that I read. You know, there's this young graduate. He just finished his uni degree in agriculture, and he was so excited and ready, you know, to just launch in and start a business. And he decided he bought a land and cleared that land, right? And he said, okay, I'm going to start, you know, a chicken business, you know. And he bought 1,000 chicks, right? Remember, he just finished his degree in agriculture. And he got there, he took the chicks, and he planted them. Feet first. He planted all the 1,000 chicks, watered them, you know, put some fertilizer, weed around them, you know. But to his amazement, after a few days, all the chicks died. So he said, okay, maybe I didn't do this right. So, you know, packed them all away. He bought another 1,000 chicks. And this time around, he planted them head first. But this one's died quicker than the first one. Because, you know, he was so frustrated, you know, he was like, what's going on? You know, I'm so hungry with my uni right now, you know. So he wrote them a letter, you know, telling them all his frustration and demanding that they give him his money back. But do you know, do you want to hear the letter they wrote back to him? They said, dear alumnus, we are amazed that one of our graduates could make such a glaring and stupid mistake. We cannot possibly help you until you first send us a soil sample. So you can imagine the kind of school he went to. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying this morning is some of us don't understand the agricultural, you know, your farming process. Okay, and we don't need to. But I want to believe this morning that every one of us understand what harvest is. Harvest is gathering, you know, gathering what you've planted. You know, you planted something, is now ripe, you know, you go in and take it. That is harvest, okay? And harvest can also refer to that fruit itself, you know. They will say, oh, you have a bountiful harvest this year, referring to those fruits, okay, of the plants. But I don't want us to just look at physical harvest this morning. I want us to look at it in the spiritual realm, okay? Because everything that happens in the natural has a spiritual, you know, undertone, right? Okay, so let's just jump right in. I want you to look at the word time and the word harvest. It says it's harvest time. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says there is time for everything under heaven. So as long as we are still here, right, under heaven, time matters, right? And when we talk about harvest, you don't go and be harvesting when it's time to plant, right? It's impossible because you will not get anything. But I want to tell you this morning that God is saying that in these last 3 months of the year, we are entering into a season of harvest. Amen. Let's go back to our story in John chapter 4. So I'm just going to, you know, go back a little bit and talk about what happened here. So there's this Samaritan woman, okay? Samaritan woman, let's forget about the fact that it's Samaritan, okay? What it means is that she belongs to a country that don't know the Lord, okay? So this woman has had 4 husbands. So she's kind of, I don't know, confused. Because when you've had 4 husbands, you know, the common denominator is you, right? I don't know. That's just my thought, you know. You know, So this woman must have been feeling, you know, depressed, feeling, you know, unworthy, you know. And to make the matters worse, the person she's living with is not her husband, you know. And this is the woman that Jesus went and approached to give him water to drink, you know. So he was talking to this woman, you know. What Jesus overcame in that place, you know. I'm just telling you the background of the story. I'm getting somewhere, okay. He overcame, you know, a cultural, a social, you know, stigma, you know, to approach this lady. You know, he broke the barrier of race, because the Bible says that Jews and Samaritans, they don't have any dealings. They are like, you know, enemies, you know. And in those days, you know, the culture regarded women as next to nothing. And that's why I think Solomon could marry, you know, I don't know how many wives, and a thousand, you know, I don't know how many concubines, you know, because they counted women as properties, you know, things you own, not as people, right? And that's why he said, why are you talking to me? I'm a woman, you know. A man is not supposed to talk to a woman. But Jesus approached that woman, was talking to her, and the disciples saw them. And they're like, why is Jesus, the Lord of Lords, you know, talking to this woman? Why will he be doing that? And they approached him, you know, after Jesus has spoken to the lady, and he says, don't worry, I'll give you, you know, rivers of water that will never go dry, you know. I believe that woman understood that this is the Messiah. My life is going to turn around, right? And he went and told everyone in the village about this Messiah. Hallelujah. But instead of the disciples, you know, focusing on that harvest, focusing on winning this woman to Christ, they were focusing on, you know, that race, that social status, you know, that fact that she's a woman, you know. But Jesus said, if you look down in 35, he says, do not say there are still 4 months and then come harvest. He says, look at the fields. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Look beyond race. Look beyond, you know, whatever is the limitation. And see the harvest that the Lord has prepared in those people. You know, the context of this story is all about evangelism, right? Because as Jesus was talking to his disciples, all these people came. They came to meet the Messiah. That woman even won more people to Christ than the disciples that Jesus has been pouring into, right? Because of that limitation that was just broken. Praise the Lord. But my focus this morning, you know, number one is the fact that the harvest is ripe, you know. The harvest is ripe to bring more people into the kingdom of God. And God is going to use you and I. Hallelujah. But there's another thing I want to focus on, which has the same principle, and which God is telling us about, is that, you know, we've sown. How many people believe that they've put in, you know, when you sow, I'm talking about sowing time, sowing your resources, you know, into making something work. You've sown into your work, you've sown into your children, you've sown prayers into getting that husband and or that child saved. You know, you've really sown, you've sweated. But God is telling us this morning that it's harvest time. But when the disciples were looking around, I don't think they saw any ripeness of any harvest. All they could see were the problems. All they could see were the barriers. And even if we look out now and see what's going on in the world, you know, all we could see is earthquakes. All we can hear is nations rising against nations, you know. Presidents, you know, challenging each other and saying, no, I'm going to destroy you. The other one is saying, no, I'm going to destroy you. That's what we see around us. We see so many calamities. We see bombings, you know. You are taking your kids to school. You are praying that God bring them home safely because you don't know what's going to happen to them. You know, that's the situation we find ourselves. You know, to me, it looks more like the end time, yeah. Right? In Matthew chapter 24, you know, the Bible talks about the signs of the end times. It says nations will rise against nations. It says wars, you know, and rumors of war, you know. It talks about all these horrible things that are happening, which are actually happening now, you know. So it is the end time. And that reminds me, you know, when I was little, there's so much talk about rapture, you know, and Jesus coming. And, you know, I was so fearful at the time, you know, when all this was going on. And to make matters worse, I read a book. How many people know the book Left Behind? I think it's Tim LaHaye. Yeah, you know, it's a series. They even made it into a movie, you know. And it was so scary. Every time it's like Jesus is coming now. So you tell a little lie, you quickly go and repent because you don't want to go to hell, right? And I remember there was one day, you know, we were in the bedroom, you know, where my parents had 9 kids. I don't know how they did it. My brothers, when I was in primary, my older brother, 2 of them were already in the university. And every time everybody is at home like that, it's like a celebration. And we were all in the room, you know, talking and gisting. And I don't know, I dozed off somehow. I don't know, I must have been really tired, you know. And I woke up and everywhere was quiet. And I looked everywhere and I searched in all the rooms and I couldn't see anybody. The first thing that came to my mind is I've been left behind. And I'm the one that is, you know, we grew up in an Anglican church, you know. At those times, in those days, they don't talk about being born again in the Anglican church. You just go to church. So at that time, I just got born again, you know, at a Pentecostal church. So I've been telling them to get born again and all that. So I'm the one talking about being born again. And I'm the one that I... And you know that story that said that, oh, one person will be walking and the other person will be taken away. I pray that no one be left behind in the name of Jesus. Eventually, I found them outside. They went inside outside to the garden, but it was so scary at the time, you know. That's just by the way. What I'm saying this morning is the situation around us doesn't look like it's harvest time. But I want you to believe God. I want you to believe God. When he says the harvest is ripe, the harvest is now, let's believe him. Let's take him at his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we continue this morning, because of our time, there are 3 important things I want to tell you about harvest. I know, you know, in fact, there are books written about laws of harvest and, you know, what harvest is, what harvest is not spiritually. But these 3 things, to me, are very key, you know, foundational things to harvest. Can we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9? And I'm going to read verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful." Do you believe that, people of God? Mm-hmm. "But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You know, it amazed me when I was reading this passage. This is, you know, apart from Jesus teaching us to pray, you know, that the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, you know, teach us how to pray. And then when Jesus was leaving, he actually prayed for the church. He prayed that there would be unity, right? But I think this is kind of the only prayer that Jesus asks us to pray. Is a prayer point, you know? But my emphasis this morning is the fact that we should pray to the Lord of harvest. So my first point this morning is that God is the one in control of harvest. God is the one in control of harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Aren't you glad about that? When we talk about harvest, we talk about promotion. So that tells me that it's not the boss who controls that promotion. When we talk about harvest, we talk about financial breakthrough. That means it's not that economic situation controlling that harvest. When we talk about harvest, we talk about joy. We talk about peace. The Bible says it gives not as the word gives. He gives an everlasting peace, the peace that lasts. He is the one in control of the harvest. Amen. Jeremiah 5:24, we don't have to open there, but if you are taking notes, let's be like the Berean Christians and go back and check these things. He says he reserves us the appointed weeks of harvest. And I believe that's why in John chapter 4, that's why Jesus stepped in into that situation of the Samaritan woman. He saw the way, you know, where this woman was heading. He proved himself to be the Lord of the harvest. Amen. And he changed the course, you know, of that woman's life, you know. And that's the same thing I want us to put our heart to this morning. Always remember that God is the Lord of the harvest of your life. Every seed you have sown, every time you have spent, you know, investing in the kingdom of God, every time you spent investing in your children, every time you've spent investing in your academics, studying, you know that it's not that teacher. God is the God of the harvest. He's the one that rewards. You know, as Pastor Joe was jokingly saying this morning that the pastor sees Vimbai working, you know, it's more important that God sees, you know, because he's the one that can give the reward. The Bible says he gives gifts, you know, he ascended around and give gifts to the people, to the Son of Man. Hallelujah. He's the one that controls the harvest. The Bible says that Paul plants, Apollo waters, but God gives the increase. So our help is not going to come from any man, but from the Lord. And that's why I want to encourage you people of God this morning to keep on looking unto Jesus, to keep on believing in God, to keep on, you know, trusting in him, because he's the one in charge. And he's the one telling us this morning that it's time for that harvest. Hallelujah. Number two, we not only reap the same kind as we sow. You know, Galatians 6, it was talking about whatsoever a man reaps, so shall he reap. We not only, you know, we necessarily don't reap in the same season that we plant, right? It takes time. But I want you to note that we always reap a harvest more than we sow. Amen. Always. Think about a corn, you know, that is planted. Look at what comes up, you know, when it's time for harvest. We always reap more than we sow. Hallelujah. So I don't know this morning what you have sown, that you are believing God, you know, for an harvest of. Is it your money? I don't know. Is it your time? Is it your energy? Is it, you know, time praying, like I said before? I don't know what it is you have sown. The Bible, you know, I'm encouraging you this morning that you're going to reap more than you have sown. Amen. Much more than you have sown. And I want us to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. I know it's Sunday morning. This is not a Bible study night. But like I said before, there's nothing we do except we do it through the Word of God, except we get guidance in the Word of God. This is how we live, people of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It says, now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. So the Lord multiplies that seed. He causes it to multiply. Hallelujah. Your work, your giving, your service, your prayers, even the struggles that you're going through now, the Bible says you're going to have double for that trouble. Amen. It's going to multiply. It's going to increase it in a way that you won't be able to explain. And that's why I like, you know, what Taffy was talking about this morning in Galatians. He says we should not be weary in well doing. We should not be weary in well doing, because we will reap. And it's amazing. We not only reap, but we reap in abundance. Amen. We reap in multiples. Hallelujah. And then number three, harvest time is not a time to put your feet up. Harvest time is not a time to sleep. I know harvest time is a time of joy. It's a time when, you know, you are happy because, you know, things are beginning to fall in line, you know. You're beginning to see a ray of hope, you know, in that dark situation, you know. It's not a time to go to sleep. It's not a time to... Let's open to Proverbs. I think it's better we just see, you know. We just see from the word again. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 6, and I'll read 6 to 8, actually. It says, go to the hand, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. They have no captain, overseer, or ruler, but they provide our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. They gather their food in the harvest. And Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. But what will happen to him? He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Hallelujah. It's harvest time, people of God. Amen. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Amen. It's time to work. It's not a time to sleep. Amen. And that's why I believe Jesus, you know, told his disciples in that passage that we read, you know, that people, it's time, the harvest is ripe. It's time to wake up. You know, it's time to go out and gather. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to take that spoil. But the question that was really paramount in my mind when God laid this on my heart to tell you, you know, people of God at his harvest time is, you know, what exactly, you know, I know it's time to, harvest time is time to work, right? But what do we actually do at harvest time? What do we do at harvest time? And I'm going to give you four things that I think we can do at harvest time. I'm going to start, if you are taking notes, I'm going to start from the number four. Okay, I want to start from the bottom up. At harvest time is a time to praise. It's a time to praise God. It's a time to praise God. Psalm 67. Can we open to Psalm 67 quickly? Psalm 67, I will read verses 5 and 6. It says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then, somebody say then. Amen. Then the heart shall yield our increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Did you see that connection? Then the heart shall yield our increase. That's talking about harvest. So it means when we praise God, then the heart, he yields. It yields an increase. And when we talk about, you know, there are seven feasts, you know, that the Israelites observe, you know, in the Old Testament. One of these is the feast of the first fruit. That is when they start harvesting, and the first fruit they first gather, they take it to the priest, and they sacrifice to the Lord. The priest wave it to the Lord. It tells me that they are acknowledging the fact that, you know, God is the one making that harvest to be possible. You know, don't forget that they have not finished harvesting. But the first thing they take from there, they come and praise God with it. So I don't know, you know, you've been praying for that child to change, you know. But are you seeing a little, you know, a little tiny change in that child? Instead of grumbling and, you know, about the 95% that is not done. What about the 5%? Remember the story of the lepers? Only one came back to give God praise. But this Psalm 67 really pointed out clearly this morning that there's a correlation between, you know, a bountiful harvest and praise. So this remaining 3 months of the year, I want to encourage you not to complain about a single thing, but just to give thanks. Amen. Just to lift up your hands and give thanks. Amen. Thank God for that marriage. You know, thank God for that child. Some people, you know, they're believing God to be in one, you know, and we are complaining about our own marriage that is not working well. But you are still there. You are still hanging on. You are still there, people of God. Let's give the Lord of the harvest some thanks. Let's acknowledge him that is the one working it out. He that has started a good work, the Bible says he will complete it unto the day of Christ. Don't complain, don't grumble. That's what happened to the children of Israel, you know. God kept providing. They kept harvesting, you know. They kept enjoying, but they kept complaining. We don't have this kind of food. This kind of food we eat here in the wilderness. It's not as beautiful and fancy as the one we eat in Egypt when they were enslaved. They forgot that they were slaves over there. Hallelujah. Amazing. Amazing. So we have to, you know, reprogram our mind, you know, that anytime you see a problem, it's time to praise God. Anytime you see, you know, a challenge, you know, look for that little glimpse, you know, of hope and thank God for it. Hallelujah. And I believe that even hangers the devil the more. I think it's a challenge I'm throwing out to you all, people of God. Let's give thanks. Let's give thanks. No matter how small the harvest, no matter how small the change, no matter how small the provision, no matter how small the help, no matter how small the promotion, let's give thanks for it. Let's give thanks for it. And I believe all of us, we are not the same way the way we entered into this year, 2017. You can't tell me you are still the same. Physically, spiritually, materially, you know, there is at least something, you know, you can point out that this is what God did for me this year. I want you to reflect back and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, and keep thanking him. And the more we thank him, the more I believe we will receive more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Joel chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. It says, be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. And all the trees of the field are withered. Do you know why? He says, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Because you don't see anything joyful anymore. You don't take time to reflect on what the Lord has done. You know, there are three stages of fruits, you know, when the fruits come out. There's a time when they're still green, right? You don't want to pluck them at that time, right? There's a time when they are ripe. That's the time to harvest. But there's a time when you don't harvest at that time, it begins to rot, isn't it? And it's not useful anymore, right? But when we praise God, in every situation, we begin to harvest that fruit at the time when it's ripe. When you begin to complain, you begin to lose sight, you know, of the ripeness. Because all you are seeing is a problem. All you are seeing is a limitation. And you are not seeing the ripeness until, you know, that fruit, you know, becomes rotten. Praise the Lord. So when you grumble and complain, you miss the harvest. Instead, what do? Let's praise God. Let's thank God no matter what. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So number one thing to do in harvest is praise. Praise. And like I said, that's the number four. Number three is to act. Is to act. I think I've already spoken about this a little bit. In time of harvest, we don't just sit down. That is a time to go out and gather. That is a time to put together your CV and apply for that job. Hallelujah. I know you've been praying about it. I know you've been searching on the internet, but this is a time to sit down and do something about it. Amen. You know, I work in the, you know, in the freight rail industry where we help, you know, we help farmers to transport their harvest, you know, from their farm, you know, to the people who are going to take it out and export it. You know, harvest time is a time when, you know, so much work needs to be done for us, you know, in that industry. Because we don't want anything to disrupt that movement of the harvest. You know, we make sure that the rail is maintained. There's no derailment. You know, it's not a time to start, you know, building new rail and leaving the ripe fruits in the field to get rotten. You know, it's a time to act, people of God. Students, it's a time to give your best to your academics. I know some of our students are, you know, well, either preparing or getting ready to, already started writing their year 12 exam, you know. All the preparation that you have done is a time to step out, you know, to step out and go for it, you know. is a time where we started, you know, I started this teaching by talking about the harvest of soul. It's a time to talk to that person you have been praying for. You know, some of us have lists of people we are praying for. It's a time to step out in faith and talk to them. Because remember, God is the God of harvest. And he's the one telling you that it's harvest time. It's time, he's telling us now that it's time to go out and do something, you know, about it. Praise the Lord. It's a time to keep speaking life to that death situation. It's a time to keep confessing God's word in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 10:5. It says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So harvest time is a time to gather. It's a time to, you know, to go past that limitation and do something about that thing you are believing God for. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number two, harvest time is a time to expect. It's a time to expect. People of God, I want you to believe God. When he says it's time for harvest, it's time for it. And let's expect. As you step out of your house every day, as this year is coming to an end, expect God to step in into that situation. Expect a miracle. Expect a favor at work. Simple things, you know. Sometimes, you know, I get to the car park, it's already filled up, and, you know, somebody will just pull out. You know, it's simple things, you know, but it's that expectation, because when you are leaving your house, you're already expecting something wonderful to happen to you. You know, it's not all about gloom and doom. You know, let's expect that God will do something beautiful. The Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. And it says in Proverbs 23:18, because of our time, we might not open there. It says, surely there's an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. So what that tells me, that is whatever you expect that you experience. Whatever you expect is what you experience. Because if you are not expecting it, even when it happens, you miss it. So expect that job to come through. Expect that promotion to come through. Except, you know what, as a student, you are believing God to go in for a specific course at uni. Expect that you are going to get the mark to get into that course. Expect it. Expect it. What you expect, you experience. Hallelujah. Amen. And then number one, harvest time is a time to replant. Harvest time is a time to replant. It's not over until it's over, people of God. Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Hallelujah. Psalm 126:5 says, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. But I want us to open to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 this morning. Genesis 8:22. It says, why the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. If you stop replanting, people of God, you are violating this principle. And what do we replant? We replant our best seed. We replant our best seed. You are believing God for a financial breakthrough. And, you know, you have just received an harvest, you know, and you've sown a seed and you've received an harvest, you know. It's a time to go back and sow again. Praise the Lord. Take the best out of that seed. Take the best out of that harvest and turn it again into a seed. If you want that circle, you know, of harvest to continue in your life, praise the Lord. Keep sowing that seed of prayer. Keep sowing that seed, you know, in whatever form. That seed of time, of energy, of resources. Focus more on it again, you know. As you are reaping that harvest, keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. You know, it's very interesting that, you know, what sustains us, you know, is not, you know, our receiving. It's our sowing. Because that is when we are sustained. That is when it keeps going. It's not just going to be a once, once in a lifetime experience. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, it says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves up to the earth. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. And keep making that cloud full. Hallelujah. Amen. And in conclusion this morning, the Bible says in that passage that we read that the harvest is now. It's harvest time. Stop focusing on a harvest that is in the future. The harvest is now. It's ripe. And if you look at all the points I've given you this morning, from the number 4 to the number 1, what have we? If you look at the first letters of each of the words I've given you, can you tell me what it spells? So we've got number 4 is press. Number 3 is hat. Number 2 is expect. Number 1 is replant. What have we spelled, people of God? From the beginning down, from the number 1 down, what have we? Thank you. Thank you. We've spelled reap. Reap. Replant. Expect. Act. And praise. Replant. Expect. Act. And reap. That is what we do in harvest. We reap. We reap. And I close with this verse of the scripture this morning. Psalm 65 verse 11. Pastor Joe led us in prayer on Friday when we rounded up the prayer and fasting. And he shared with us, you know, this verse of the scripture. Very powerful. Psalm 65 verse 11. I'm going to read mine in the New Living Translation. I don't know what translation you've got, but it's okay. It says, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. This is talking about God. It says, he crowns the year with a bountiful harvest. As this year is coming to an end, I want us to start praying, people of God. This is a promise of God for all of us who would choose to believe. He crowns the year. You know, when you crown something, you know, you already finished making everything and then you just put the crown on. It's like the beauty is complete. He says he's beautifying this year with a bountiful harvest for you and I. I want you to pray that as this year, this 3 months that this year remains before it ends, that the Lord will help you to enjoy a bountiful harvest. Pray for his grace to act. Pray for his grace to expect. Pray for his grace to replant the best of your harvest. Pray for his grace to always find a reason to praise and thank God in every situation. Amen. Instead of complaining. Amen. Can we close our eyes, people of God, and start to pray? He crowns the year with a bountiful harvest. Pray that your children will enjoy a bountiful harvest in the academics. We're approaching the time when, you know, they start doing the end of year activities. They start, you know, giving awards to people who have been exceptional during the year, you know. But the Lord is telling us this morning, it's time for a harvest, a bountiful harvest. And I pray, let's pray that we'll come out here before this year comes to an end. And we're going to come and testify to the fulfillment of this word in our lives. That passage of the scripture that was talking about faith. And they said, Master, help our unbelief. Pray that the Lord will help your unbelief. That the Lord will strengthen your faith. Because the situation is not looking like an harvest. That the Lord will help you to see beyond that limiting factor. That the Lord will help you to see beyond that problem. So that you can enjoy a bountiful harvest. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, you are thinking in your heart, I've not even sown anything. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sow, that shall he reap. and you are thinking, all the things I've sown, it's not the things I want to reap. You know, the Lord is merciful. The love of God is everlasting. He's unconditional. I want you to talk to him this morning and just rededicate your life to him. If you feel you have not planted enough, pray that the Lord, because he's the one in control of the harvest, he will cause you to enjoy a bountiful harvest. If you don't know him, I want you to ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says, with the heart we believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess your sin before him and ask him to come into your life as your Lord and Savior this morning. If you are praying this prayer, I want you to come and see me or Pastor Joe at the end of the service. The Bible says, no one that comes to him, he will no wise cast away. And people of God, let's choose to believe God this morning. It's harvest time. Step out in faith. Father, we just pray this morning. We choose to believe you. That instead of the things going on around us, instead of the things we think we are experiencing in the physical, we choose to believe you that it's harvest time. I pray for everyone here this morning that as we step out of this place today, we step onto a bountiful harvest. We believe your word that says you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. And we declare that we step into it right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that whatsoever that will stand that want to stand between us enjoying that bountiful harvest, we come against it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you position us, oh God, in that place to be able to reap, to be able to gather, oh God, all the harvest that you've ripened for us. Thank you, faithful Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. For we have prayed in the mighty name of Jesus.